The Person of Jesus, Radio Addresses on the Deity of the Savior, J. Gresham Machen, Philadelphia, Westminster Seminary Press, 2017, 104 pages. A Brief Book Summary from Books at a Glance. Table of Contents. Chapter 1, The Triune God. Chapter 2, What is the Deity of Christ? Chapter 3, Does the Bible Teach the Deity of Christ? Chapter 4, The Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5, What Jesus Said About Himself. Chapter 6, The Supernatural Christ. Chapter 7, Did Christ Rise from the Dead? Summary. Chapter 1, The Triune God. This series of radio talks will start by discussing what the Bible says about God. Scripture says that God is the creator and ruler of the world, and that he is holy, free, independent, and eternal. We cannot simply ignore truth and theology because loving God depends in part on our knowledge of him. We can only love God because he first loved us, and we can only love him if we know him to be worthy of love. There is no true communion with God apart from knowing him through his revelation. Since God is real, there are things that are true about him. Conversely, this means that we can also believe things about God that are false. In order to know the truth about God, we need to accept the teaching of the Bible. The Westminster Shorter Catechism has a helpful and accurate summary. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. God is unlimited by constraints of time and space. He is not simply bigger than the universe, but rather he is equally near to every point of space. For God, there is no past or future. Every moment is equally present. We must accept these truths rather than trying to make God into our own image. Many of the attributes of God may seem anthropomorphic, but that is because God has made us in his image. He is not an abstract being, but a personal one, and the Bible speaks of him as being tender and compassionate. One of the truths about God, found only in Scripture, is that he is triune. There are hints of this doctrine in the Old Testament, but it is clearly taught in the New Testament. Even then, the doctrine is rarely considered as a whole, but is rather the necessary conclusion derived from examining various parts of New Testament revelation. In many passages, the doctrine is assumed rather than explicated. The absolute monotheism of the Old Testament is retained in the New, but the one God is seen to exist in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all God, not aspects of God, and they have real personal relationships with one another. Chapter 2, What is the Deity of Christ? There are places in the New Testament where all three persons of the Godhead are mentioned in the same passage, but more commonly a particular text will present one part of the doctrine. One central and prominent piece of evidence for the doctrine of the Trinity is the deity of Christ. It is vital to define the concept of deity and God according to the content of biblical revelation. There are many people who will say that Jesus is God or divine, or that they believe in his deity, but they do not define those terms accurately according to Scripture. It is possible to use orthodox terms without orthodox meaning. When we ascribe deity to Christ, we are saying that he is eternal, infinite, and immutable, the creator and ruler of the world, the second person of the Holy Trinity. As more and more redefinition of key terms take place, we need to pray for wisdom and light. Many moderns use the term deity to refer to Jesus' religious consciousness and experience, or they may use it metaphorically. It is often used to describe a difference or degree rather than kind, as if anyone can experience deity like Jesus did, or merely to a lesser extent of conscious experience. Scripture does not maintain this pantheistic sense of God and man being one, or on the contrary, it is emphatic that we are not God. Another way that moderns use the term deity is in the sense that people need something transcendent to worship and by which they can order their lives. On this score, Jesus is the highest organizing principle and thus can be called divine. Scripture, however, insists that it is sinful blasphemy to worship any mere mortal or created being. God is objectively real, and he is infinite, holy, and the final judge. Jesus is the only Redeemer, and he is fully God. Chapter 3. Does the Bible teach the deity of Christ? Sadly, many today are willing to say that Jesus is God, not because they think highly of Jesus, but rather because they have such an impoverished, low view of God. Whereas many today use terms without any clear definition, the words in Scripture are clear and understandable. The Old Testament does not set forth the deity of Christ with the same amount of light as it is found in the New, but it does reveal that the Messiah is clearly to be a supernatural person, and he is clearly possessed of attributes that are truly divine. He was to be born in the line of David, yet is also a heavenly being who appears suddenly to judge the world. Isaiah 9:6 presents the deity of the Messiah, and it promises that he will be in the line of David, but yet be the mighty God. How this is possible is not disclosed in that text, but is made clear in the New Testament. The Messiah is descended from David and is also an eternal heavenly being because he is fully God and fully man. Jesus is the Son of God in the flesh, and the New Testament writers often simply presuppose the truth of his deity. From the very beginning of the church, Jesus was held to be God and man. Everything the Old Testament said about Jehovah was applied to Jesus. Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was in the highest sense the Son of God. Jesus called God my Father and differentiated his sonship with the way that his followers would refer to God as Father. At his baptism, Jesus was shown to be the unique Son of God, fully approved by the Father. In the Gospels, Jesus is not merely an example of faith, but the object of faith. Jesus called people not only to faith in God, but to put their faith in himself. Trusting in Jesus depends on the foundation of his deity. This is a personal issue. We all must decide what we are going to do with Jesus and whether we will accept him and trust him. Chapter 4, The Sermon on the Mount. All four Gospels present Jesus as the object of faith, and since we are only to put our faith in God, the validity of their message depends on his deity. Some wish to reject theology and the doctrine of the deity of Christ and simply follow the ethical instruction of Jesus. However, this cannot be done because the ethical teachings of Jesus are grounded in his divine authority and claims of deity. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke with unique and absolute authority. Even the Beatitudes provide blessings in line with a personal relationship with Jesus, Matthew 5:11. Jesus clearly teaches in the Gospels that people will be judged on the basis of their relationship with him. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus puts his own teaching on par with the authoritative, inscripturated Word of God. Prophets would say, "Thus saith the Lord." But Jesus said, "I say unto you." At the end of the sermon, Jesus says that a person can enter into heaven only if he knows that individual in a saving way. Many will call Jesus Lord, but he will reject them because he doesn't truly know them. If we are honest with the biblical data, Jesus cannot be seen to be merely a good moral teacher of religious ethics. He is much, much more than that, and his claims to divine authority cannot be ignored. Chapter 5. What Jesus said about himself. Many people appeal to the Sermon on the Mount to try to show that Jesus was simply a teacher of morality, but the sermon itself proves otherwise. It is filled with claims of deity. Jesus is fully God and fully man, but the titles Son of Man and Son of God are not what prove this doctrine. The interpretive key to understanding what Jesus means by Son of Man is found in Daniel 7. It was a messianic title, and it does not designate the humanity of Jesus as distinguished from his deity, but it designates him as being that transcendent heavenly person who was to come one day with the clouds of heaven and be the final judge of all the world. There are several passages in the Gospels and in Acts that make this connection explicitly clear. There are also passages which highlight the humility and suffering of the Son of Man, reminding us that it was one so exalted who suffered and died in our place. However we interpret the title Son of Man, it nevertheless is a demonstrable fact that Jesus claimed to be Lord, King, and Judge. He said that he had the authority to forgive sins, and he claimed that only he, the Son of God, could reveal God the Father. At the deepest level, only the Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father, since they share infinite capacities. For the Son to exhaustively comprehend the infinite Father, the Son must likewise be infinite. Only God can fathom God. Incredibly, Jesus invites us to know the Father through Him. A sweeter invitation has never been given. All those who labor and are heavy laden are called to find rest in Him. Chapter 6, The Supernatural Christ. All four Gospels reveal the deity of Christ, and all four show that His claims were supported and vindicated by the signs and miracles that He performed. If the New Testament didn't record any miracles, it would be, at one level, easier to believe. The problem, however, would be that believing it would not matter very much. If Jesus was simply a regular person who did regular things, there would be no grounds for faith. A merely human Jesus cannot be the Savior that we need. Believing stories about a religious teacher who did no miracles would be easy, but what we actually need is the gospel of the incarnate Son of God. The miracles wrought by Jesus were done by none other than the incarnate divine Son of God. Many have attempted to uncover and present the historical Jesus by removing all supernatural elements from His story, but all such attempts have been catastrophic failures. Some have tried to explain the miracles in naturalistic terms, but this cannot be done. The only honest approach is to accept that the miracles are deeply woven into the fabric of the story, and they can either be rejected or accepted. The reconstructions of liberalism, which sought to supply a non-supernatural, earthly Jesus, were at first received with hope, but have since utterly fallen to the ground. Source criticism and liberal critical methods have been unable to uncover the original Jesus. Those who will not accept the picture of Jesus that's presented in the Gospels are giving up all hope of knowing what He was really like. This is tragic and unnecessary. The other alternative is to accept the Gospel accounts and put your faith in the supernatural Christ. Chapter 7. Did Christ rise from the dead? It is an undeniable fact of history that Jesus lived and was crucified. When He died, His disciples were discouraged and afraid. Yet something happened which completely transformed them and led to the founding of the Church of Christ, which quickly spread like wildfire. Both Christians and skeptical historians agree that the early followers of Jesus came to believe that He had been raised from the dead. The New Testament argues with impeccable clarity that the reason for this belief is that Jesus was in fact raised from the dead. When skeptics try to give an account for the origin of the resurrection belief in the disciples, none of their alternative explanations are plausible. The disciples knew nothing of a spiritual existential resurrection. They only believed because they believed it was a real, historical, bodily event. If Christ was not raised from the dead, then Christianity is destroyed. The post-resurrection appearances of Christ were plainly bodily and physical, rather than spiritual or visionary. Appeals to hallucinations fail against the biblical data, but also fail to take into account the incredible diversity in the times, places, and audiences for the appearances. We can see in 1 Corinthians 15 that from the very earliest time in the church, the resurrection of Jesus was a fundamental doctrine. From the very beginning, the only resurrection the church knew of was the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus, which left behind an empty tomb. The origin of the church in Jerusalem is incoherent apart from the historicity of the resurrection. Dead people do not come back to life, but Jesus was no ordinary man. It is essential to see that the scriptures claim that Jesus was raised from the dead. He was the unique Son of God and the Messiah. No one died like Christ, and no one was raised like Him. May God open our eyes so that we see Jesus and exclaim, "My Lord and my God." Copyright 2023, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.